Joining us again today on the Wells of Salvation. I'm Brother Paul Bryson, and we welcome you to listen as we study from God's Word. We have looked at Christ as a high priest. You and I will need one as long as we live to keep fellowship between ourselves and God. That's what His blood has done. He shed His blood. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So our sins were paid for through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, it doesn't matter what men think. That's still the only hope that any of us have is that we have our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. Now, we talked last time about who Jesus was. He was a sinless man that lived about 2,000 years ago. He didn't sin. He thought no evil. He spoke no evil. He saw no evil as far as wanting to be a part of what wicked men are doing here in this world. But He came here for a reason. He was on a mission. And that mission was to seek and to save that which was lost, which was all of Adam's race, all of us, all of us. And I know what the temptation may be to say, oh, let's just say for an example, Buddhist. What about how many million Buddhists there are in the world? Do you mean to tell me that they'll all be lost? Well, if they don't get saved, if they don't repent of their sins and trust in the finished work of Christ, they'll be lost. Well, what about Hindus? We know that there's millions and millions, probably billion, of them in the world. What about them? Well, they have the same requirement as God has required of me, that I repent of my sins and trust in the finished work of His Son. Now, is that a lot of people going to hell? You better believe it. Are we going to stand by that know what the truth is and just let men go on blindly into hell to be punished forever and forever and forever? No, no. Not a man can't do that if he has the love of God in his heart. And we'll get out there and we'll tell men that in Hebrews 9:22 it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Now, He's not talking about killing dogs or kids or any other blood. There is no blood that is worthy of being shed for our sins except that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we see that whenever Jesus came, He came in the office of prophet, priest, and king. And the prophet, he would tell people about their sins. He would speak on the behalf of God. And then a priest will speak on behalf of the people to God. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to pray as we ought, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Bible says. So He was one that He felt the same things as far as infirmities that we did. He knew what it was to be tired. We find that when He was engaged in His public ministry, that on one occasion, He was so tired that He went into the hinder part of the ship and He was asleep. And while He was sleeping, the men on the Sea of Galilee, they saw this horrible, horrible storm coming that would just rip up the waves. And they were afraid that that ship, that little fishing boat that they were in, would sink and they would be perishing. All of them, including Jesus. So they went back to Him and awakened him and said, Master, carest thou not if we perish? And Jesus got up from his cot and he went to the fore part of the ship and he rebuked that wind. And he said, Peace, be still. And it minded him. It obeyed. So he was showing them, as he had on a great number of occasions healed sick people, brought people back from the dead, that he was also master over the nature. He could speak to it, tell it what to do, what not to do, and it obeyed him. And they marveled and asked the question, what manner of man is this? Well, you know, that's what Jesus is. He is one that is so pure and he's so good that we marvel. Why would he love someone like us? We're sinners, but he does. And friend, I'm so happy that he does, because if he did not, you and I would have nothing to look forward to except an eternity which has no end in a lake of fire that was not prepared for us, but it was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where they're going. That's where everyone and every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. Now, here in the United States, we have churches everywhere you look, buildings. And we have a name on that church. It's Baptist, Holiness, Pentecostal, Catholic, whatever you want to drink. They've got your kind of tea on about any corner you want to go. But let me tell you, that doesn't mean anything. God doesn't look at those signs on the outside of a building. He doesn't look at a church name. He looks at the heart of men, and he deals with that heart of men, because it's, well, like Jeremiah said, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? And he said, desperately wicked. And he said, who could know it? Who could know your heart? You don't even know it. Because it's deceitful. It'll lead you to believe one thing when in fact that's an error. Well, depending on what it is, that error could put you in a lake of fire forever and forever. That's the reason there was a need for someone to come that could offer a sacrifice to God that would please him. Well, Jesus came and he was actually a priest all of his life while he was here. And so it was whenever it was time to make that ultimate sacrifice, human sacrifice, then Jesus became the priest that offered it, and he became the sacrifice that was offered. Do you see that? Do you understand that it was God's Son, that God had laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah said. And the reason he did that is because his Son was bearing our sins to judgment. See, the cross is judgment. And it was there whenever the Son of God, hanging between heaven and earth, was bleeding and suffering. Men standing around the cross jeering at him, rejecting him, hurting him. And yet here he is. He's in the place of judgment. So whenever God gets ready to administer justice to sin, it's like pulling down a shade to darken a room. God pulled the sun away from the earth. And there was darkness in Jerusalem at noon. And the Bible tells us that during this time that there were seven sayings that Jesus said. First one is very notable. Father, forgive them. they know not what they do. How about that? What about someone that's so full of mercy, so full of love, that they could, that a divine being that had no sin, no thought of sin about them, that would turn to their equal, which the Father was, and say to him, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who I am. They don't know I'm your son. They don't know that I am bearing their sins. And you're about to pour your wrath out on me. They don't know that. So he looked at that ignorance of men with such pity that he begged the Father to forgive. So you see, Jesus was ready to forgive before anyone asked him. You'll not get saved until you do ask him to forgive you of your sins. Not just one of them. It's got to be the whole pile of them. And so it was whenever Jesus had looked down at the cross, from the cross, and said, John, behold my mother. In other words, I want you to take her home with you. Take good care of my mother. And then the thieves, they were there. And one of them had repented. And if you'll read in the 27th chapter of Matthew, and I'm pretty certain it would be the 44th verse or the 64th verse. I'm sorry, it slips in my mind. But it was there as the people were jeering him and making fun of him. They were saying, oh, he's calling for Elijah. And they stood there and waited to see if Elijah would come and save him. Well, there was those two thieves. The Bible said they both cast the same in his teeth. But now that the crucifixion is actually taking place, one of them has repented. He's humbled his heart. He sees his own condemnation. He sees that he's going to die, that he has to die, that the law says he must die. This was Roman law. The Jews didn't have the power of capital punishment, so they relied on the Jews to carry out their dirty work, and that's what this was. They rejected him, they despised him, and, you know, they, in Isaiah, where the prophecy of all this is, they plucked my beard. They hated me without a cause. Why would you hate Jesus? But did you know, if you've not been saved, if you could look into your blackened heart, that right in there, there's hatred for God? You want your way. You don't want his. You despise the fact that his law is telling you that thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not, and you hate every one of them. And my friend, when do you want God to deal with you on this? Do you want to do it now while you can do something about it, and while he can do something about it? Or do you want to wait? Do you want to go to judgment? There'll be no one there to plead your case. You see, Jesus on the cross was pleading our case. God heard him, but as Jesus was being crucified, the Father had to turn his face away from him. And we might say, well, why? Well, because he was bearing our sins. He didn't have his sin of his own, but God, the Bible clearly says that God cannot look on sin with the least of allowance. He will not allow sin. And sin must be dealt with. Well, Christ did it in our place. Sinner friend, I want you to see that. That as far as the penalty for sin, the wrath of God upon sin, that has already been taken care of at the cross. And you know, there's a song that we sing here in the United States, and maybe you do too. It's at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Do you see? Now, the person that wrote that, they've been dead for how many years? About 100? They're not here now. But let's say just 100 years ago, people were getting saved just like we are. I'm talking about people that's preaching the truth. We're preaching this same truth, that burden of your heart, which is conviction, all those sins that you have committed, that burden, that's what God has laid on your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the energy. He's the power that God the Father and God the Son uses to bring you to salvation through repentance and faith in the Son of God. And you know, while he was there, he was saying, I thirst. He was saying, Father, whenever he looked back through the law and the prophets and the Psalms, when he saw that he had fulfilled everything that God had required of me and of you, he was satisfied, so he bowed his head into that holy bosom, and he gave up the ghost. Before he did, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head, and he died. Don't tell me that doesn't stir you up. It sure does. If it doesn't, my friend, I am worried about you. If the death of Jesus Christ, under the circumstances that he had to die alone. And the prophets had said concerning Jesus that he tread the winepress alone. There was no, and listen, that includes Mary too. People have foolishly believed that woman somehow was born without sin. Where in the name of everything that's good did you find that information? It's not in Scripture. God didn't say it. So if God didn't say it, you know it's a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. So if God didn't say it, why? And I love you people. I love you. I don't care what persuasion you are. I don't care if you're a Methodist, Holiness, Pentecostal, Catholic, Buddhist. I don't care. God doesn't care. All of us have the same Father, which was Adam. And we all died in Adam. Romans, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do you see? Do you see? Do you see yourself as a sinner? Is holding the gospel, which is good news, holding it up before your eyes and you looking at it as a mirror and you see yourself in there? How do you see yourself? As a good person? Well, you're looking in the wrong mirror. That mirror is a lie. You're looking at your heart and you are trying to know your heart to be good, when all the time God's saying, no, I am the one that searcheth the reins of the heart. In other words, the motives, the intents of the heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Jesus, whenever he was talking to the Pharisees, who were self-righteous, like a lot of people today are, self-righteous, and guess what? They were trying to show the Lord just how wonderful they were by not eating with unwashed hands. They were saying, oh, we wash our hands, big deal. Jesus said, it's not that it goeth in a man that defileth a man, but that which proceedeth out of the heart defileth a man. Murder, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and so on. It all comes out of the heart. The heart of man is desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. Not just wicked. It's desperate. And it's deceitful above all things. And who can know it? So God said, I'm the only one that can know it. My friends, let me say that if God wanted you to go to hell, he would have no problem in reaching out there and just breaking that little thin thread that's holding your life, your body and soul together. He could break that and you'd drop right off into hell. And you see, the way you are living, you're living just like someone that would bring a match or a lighter or a little piece of fire of some kind coming straight toward you where you have that little silken piece of thread. And here that fire comes to burn it in two. And yet you still won't repent. Now that's what the gospel helps us do. It is good news. It tells us that we don't have to die and be lost. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to go down there and join the millions and the millions and the millions of people that's going to be there. I don't know whether it's in this program or another program how I mentioned that. What about the numbers of people that are going to be in hell? It's not going to be a few thousand people. Boy, it'd be a bunch, wouldn't it? But you think about it. What about from the days of our parents in the Garden of Eden? You know, Cain, those that have gone, woe unto them that have gone in the way of Cain. From that first family, people have been going to hell. Well, those men back in those days, there were a half a dozen of them, six at least, that lived to be over 900 years old. And it tells us how that the world actually got it. I believe it's the sixth chapter of Genesis. You'll find that God said that the thoughts of man's imagination were only evil continually. They never had a good thought. They were so corrupt, they were so wicked, that every thought was a thought of covetousness, wanting something that somebody else has, adultery, or wanting to rob something, or kill some, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It came out of the heart. Well, your flesh put it into activity. It did the deed. Now then, sometimes we have sins that we don't do anything. We call it, whenever you rob a store or a person, we call that a sin of commission. But if you're supposed to love God with all your heart and you don't do it, then that is a sin of omission. Now, it doesn't matter which one you're guilty of. Both of them, or one of them, would send you to hell. If there was only one sin against you, just one, look what it would do. Look what one sin did to Adam. He lost that state of innocence that he was in. And look what happened. All of his seed, by the millions and millions and millions, right now are screaming in hell. And that's nothing to what it's going to be whenever the present population of the world dies. Because you see, everything now is religion. Well, religion is working your way toward God, trying to get to heaven by your works. Salvation is God working down to us, and he did that through his Son. He made us acceptable. By what we did? No. By what we did in the way of repentance and faith. And it was God that helped us to do that. The Holy Spirit convicted you, and it was the Holy Spirit that helped you to repent. And it was the Holy Spirit that helped you to trust in the finished work of Christ. I'm talking to you that are saved. But you that are lost, you've never allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way. You have shut him out. You've turned him away. You've grieved him. You've quenched the Spirit. You've stopped his operation on your heart. Because he has to operate. He has to take out that old heart and that old spirit and put a new heart and a new spirit in. That's what God accepts. Because that heart will be clean. It'll be pure. That's the reason Peter tells us that we have been made partakers of the divine nature. Well, we have a divine nature because we were born again. We didn't try to fix up this old nature. You can't fix it. It's just like putting the wine into new bottles or old bottles. You know, if you put it, anything, milk, wine, water, into a vessel that is old and worn and has holes or places where that water can just seep out, then you'll lose it. And that's the way it is with people that are trying to get to heaven by their works. It just won't hold up. You got to have a new vessel, we'll say, put in your bosom. And that's that new birth. And Jesus said, except you have it. He told Nicodemus just as clearly as any statement he ever said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, do you know why you remain a sinner? It's because you don't believe that. You don't believe that. You don't believe that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You believe you can. And God is saying, no, you can't. Who's going to meet you at death's door? Well, there's going to be two. One of them is going to be the death angel. He's come to get you. And you know, if I came to your home and I knocked on the door, that's being polite. The death angel doesn't do that. He just comes on in. He gets that soul and he takes it to wherever it's prepared for, heaven or hell. And if your soul has not made the proper preparations, then the devil at death's door will take you down into that pit where the flames have already been roaring for thousands of years, and they'll never go out. God started that fire, and it'll never go out. There's a song that the Primitive Quartet sings here in the United States that everybody loves concerning Christians. And it says, the only fire I will ever feel is burning in my heart. Yeah, that's right. They had it right. Because you see, that fire that God puts in there, it's zeal is what it is. And that zeal brings about happiness and joy because we know that we have a better home beyond this veil of tears. Those of you that are lost, you're going to hell because you did not believe the report that God gave of His Son. That's why you'll be there. That's what He's going to tell you. Because it's the truth. And there's no way out. That's too late. I appreciate you listening. I'm going to give you the mailing address from myself. Some of you will be getting a different address where you can get your free CDs more quickly. Mine is Brother Paul 2701 Sample, S-A-M-P-L-E, Scales, S-C-A-L-E-S, Road, Homer, H-O-M-E-R, Georgia, USA. Thank you so much. I don't think I gave you the zip code. It's 30547 USA. May God bless you this same time next week.